This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, September 19th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, how football rivalries lead to t-shirts lead to legal problems. It's this week's legal issues in the news. We'll also have a forecast from AM 580's Mike Sola. First, a look at today's news. Two men are in custody on federal charges for allegedly kidnapping a Champaign restaurant owner last week. The owner of the La Bamba's chain, Antonio Aguas, was safely recovered at the end of the five-day ordeal. AM 580's Jeff Bossert has more.
Authorities say Aguas didn't show up for work Monday of last week, and his family received a phone call demanding ransom that same day. Local and state police and the FBI cooperated to rescue Aguas from an Indiana motel room on Friday. Two suspects were arrested, 32-year-old Adrian Lopez and 18-year-old Terrence Merritt, both of Mattoon. U.S. Attorney Roger Heaton says this case is a rarity in central Illinois.
There are people who are kidnapped and subject to armed violent offenses. But it's not something that we treat as normal or that we think of as normal in places like central Illinois. And the reason that we don't have to face it as an ordinary fact is because of the outstanding cooperation that exists between law enforcement agencies in this area.
Heaton says federal kidnapping charges carry a maximum penalty of life imprisonment. Aguas and his brother Ramiro own 27 restaurants in five states. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
The Union for Rantoul Township High School Teachers holds a ratification meeting this afternoon on a tentative contract agreement. It was hammered out last night in a four-hour bargaining session. Gene Vanderport of the Illinois Education Association says both sides made compromises during the meeting with a federal mediator. But without giving details, he says the tentative agreement has enough of what teachers at Rantoul Township High were seeking.
It showed the movement we needed going in. This TA meets most of our predetermined goals in this night's bargaining. So when you know you've got what you planned on getting, you fold the tent and say, that's it. The envelope has been pushed as far as we can push it.
The approval of the new agreement would avoid a possible teacher's strike. The RTHS Education Association had filed an intent to strike notice last month. The Urbana City Council approved an increase in the city's property tax levy of as much as 12% last night, with city officials taking pains to explain the average tax increase actually will be lower. AM 580's Jim Meadows has more.
Urbana officials say the 12% increase marks the maximum amount of additional money they could raise under the levy. City Comptroller Ron Eldridge recommends a minimum 9.9% increase in property tax revenue next year, with nearly half the increase to come from new construction. Current homeowners would pay the rest, with property assessments expected to go up an average of 5.5%. But Alderman Charlie Smythe says some homeowners will see higher assessments than others.
In my neighborhood, you know, we're seeing our third year of 10% increases probably. And so I'm hearing quite a bit from my constituency, and yet our average is 5.5. So that means some neighborhoods are not seeing the impact.
Public opposition to raising the tax levy ceiling has been higher this year than last. The proposal passed last night with one no vote from Republican Alderwoman Heather Stevenson. An identical levy ceiling proposal passed unanimously last year. A public hearing on the tax levy is set for October 9th. Urbana Council members must finalize the property tax levy by December 5th. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Danville City Council holds its second hearing today on whether to ban smoking in public places. The hearing is set for the Ordinance Subcommittee meeting. It begins at 4:30 at Danville City Council Chamber. Subcommittee Chairman Ron Candido says the first hearing last month drew about a couple dozen speakers, most of them bar owners and employees opposed to a smoking ban in bars. No proposals on smoking are expected until the hearing process is completed. A federal appeals court has declared that a key election law in Illinois is unfair. Sean Ali has more.
The appeals court took aim at how candidates for Illinois' General Assembly get on the ballot. Under the old rules, independents needed petition signatures equal to 10% of the votes cast in the last election. If they didn't have them, they were kicked off the ballot. Ballot access activist Richard Winger hopes the ruling will level the playing field between independents and major parties.
To get 10% of all the people who voted in the last election to sign your petition and have legible handwriting and be registered at the address is just impossible. That's why the court pointed out. Nobody has actually been able to use this law since 1980.
A spokesperson for the Illinois State Board of Elections says the court did not leave clear instructions about how to reformulate the law. Illinois legislators will have to take up the issue next year. I'm Sean Ali.
Seniors and others on fixed incomes are among those concerned about the potential increase in utility bills following last week's power auction. The Champaign County coordinator for LIHEAP, the Low-Income Home Energy Assistance Program, says they've been getting a few calls about Ameren's expected 40% to 55% rate hike, which will take effect in January. Karen Peoples says those local recipients have called seeking more information about the increase.
They don't say exactly how much they're going up, but they say, yes, we heard that the gas and electric is going to go up, and they're just really concerned.
Of those served by LIHEAP, Peoples says seniors typically have the hardest time paying their utility bills. Those taking precedence at that time include those on Social Security, the handicapped, and those who have received utility cutoff notices. For the latest newscast online, go to will.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. It's that time of year again. Fall brings crisp days, leaf changes, and football rivalries that sometimes touch the nerves of hypersensitive commentators like Amy Guida. Here's this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News.
I was in a lousy mood anyway as I walked through the grocery store parking lot, and then I saw the T-shirt for about the 100th time. It's bright orange. On the front is a pig Latin-like phrase suggesting a certain swear word in its condemnation of my alma mater, the University of Michigan. On the back is a statement equating the city in which the University of Michigan sits, Ann Arbor, with an occupation some say is the oldest ever. I like to think of myself as a free speech proponent, but I'd gleefully agree to be the one to weave all of the nation's nasty T-shirts into fashionable rag rugs. And not only is my definition for nasty quite broad, I also have good color sense, so I'd gather up not just the orange ones, but those for a certain restaurant chain and all that picture scantily clad women, among others. I've tried to share my T-shirt concerns with friends. You can't legislate fashion sense, they've cautioned. And that's true in a way. But a lot of our ability to tell other people what they can and cannot wear depends on who or what is doing the restricting and exactly what is being restricted. Take secondary schools, for example. The United States Supreme Court says that students have some First Amendment rights, but that the special characteristics of the school environment can lead to certain restrictions there that would otherwise be unconstitutional. So it was perfectly fine when the fashion police, armed with school values that celebrate human dignity, ticketed a New Jersey student who wore a Marilyn Manson T-shirt and a California student who chose a T-shirt condemning homosexuality. The fashion police certainly don't always win. One school went a little too far when it banned shirts that lauded rednecks, as but one example. But the Cops du Couture have had some success beyond the schoolhouse doors as well. A shopping mall in Ohio could force a man wearing a T-shirt with a vulgar phrase on it out the door because the court found the mall was private property and the security guard had the power to censor under those circumstances, even though the wearer said that he'd purchased the shirt at the same mall. Courts have also sided with employers when employees wear clothing to work bearing phrases that express their dissatisfaction with working conditions. A fashion tip for employees? Shirts that complain of a hard-working environment or those that question how much the employer truly cares have been found to be fashion no-nos in a legal sense. And you'll clearly make the worst-dressed list if you wear a T-shirt with a vulgarity on it to court. Sure, in one case, a higher court found the punishment too harsh when a trial court judge threw a courtroom spectator in jail for wearing a shirt repeating a vulgar term. Still, it wrote that the judge had every right to force the spectator out of his courtroom, just not from there and into custody. Okay, I know that there's no real law-based way to stop college students from wearing what some would say are merely good-natured anti-rival sentiments on their shirts. It's true that I can't use law to penalize this sort of fashion sense. Besides, I can't be a hypocrite. Which brings me to my final point. Oh, how I hate Ohio State. I'm Amy Guida.
Amy Guida is an assistant professor of journalism and law at the University of Illinois. Well, we begin sweater weather as we head into the middle of this week. AM 580's Mike Sola says today increasing clouds in Illinois and Indiana. In far northern Indiana, becoming cloudy with widely scattered afternoon showers. Unseasonably cool today across the two states with highs ranging from 52 in far northwest Illinois to near 70 in the far south. For tonight, clear to partly cloudy and very cool. The lows ranging from 35 degrees in northwest Illinois to 44 in southeast Indiana. And still cool tomorrow, but mostly sunny. The highs from 60 in northern Indiana to 70 in the far south. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, September 19th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.